So I would like Olena Ivanova from the Munich Ludwig Maximilian University to come and join me here, and Dr. Evert Ketting from the Netherlands. Yes, applause is good. And I would like you to present the results to us. You have about 20 minutes.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction. First of all, before I start talking about the research, the main results of the research project, I want to thank the colleagues at BZTA and IPPF European region. You know, we are traveling back and forth between Cologne and Brussels and Cologne and Brussels, etc. I'd like to thank both of them for wonderful collaboration. It's not easy, a governmental organization and a non-governmental organization, because I worked for 15 years in IPPF, and I worked for many years with BZTA. I know this is different types of genes that they have. But still it works, and that was interesting, and it was very fruitful. So I'm very happy about that. Secondly, let's not forget the tremendous efforts that have been put by the respondents of our questionnaire in the 24 countries that have responded to the questionnaire, because, to tell you the truth, after getting back the questionnaires, I sent out on average 4 or 5 emails asking for clarifications. So some of these people, and I know many of you are around here, they will shoot me if they see me because of the extra work I get them to do. But for that reason, I'm really, really very grateful for the wonderful information you have supplied us with which will all appear in the final research report, which is planned for, let's say, autumn this year. First final draft is ready. Okay, let's look at some of the main results. Sexuality education in Europe and Central Asia, main findings. And let's see what happens if I... This is it. Great. This was already discussed in the discussion that we just saw, so I don't have very much to add. We had the SAFE report, we had the country papers in 2006, but I just want to add UNESCO, and Joanna is here, and other people from UNESCO. Tigran is here. Yes, of course, Tigran, I know. You're here. In 2015, another assessment report was published by UNESCO, which included, 47 countries, and some 9 of them are also in the WHO European region. So there was already something extra, but it completely excluded Western Europe, Northern Europe, and Southern Europe. And then we used, of course, some scattered data from international publications in scientific journals. A little word about the methodology. How did we do it? It took, as already discussed, quite a while to finalize the questionnaire. Oh, my God, that was really a nightmare at some point because it became far too long. Everybody wanted to put their things in. So there was some tough discussion was needed in order to make it practicable and, not to lose the motivation to fill it in and send it back. What are the main themes that are addressed in the report, in the questionnaire, and in the report? Here you see it. It's, first of all, laws, policies, and strategies on sexual and reproductive health, on sexuality education. Then, how does it work in practice? And that's very important. Don't look at things at paper, but also look at how it really works. So we put a lot of emphasis on that, sexuality education in practice. Then the third is sexuality education outside schools. A lot of activities are going on, particularly in countries where there is hardly any sexual education in schools. And then we asked also about youth-friendly services in the field of sexual and reproductive health. And finally, we asked some questions about, do you have any additional interesting survey results in your country that give an impression of some other elements that are relevant in sexual and reproductive health. Okay, this is the overview of the countries. Let me explain a little bit. It was already explained a bit. This is a survey among 24 countries, originally 25, but one did not respond. So 24 countries, which is half of all the European countries if you exclude the mini-states. We have 5 mini-states in Europe, very small, Andorra, San Marino, Monaco, these kind of countries. If you exclude, you have 48 countries and we have 24. It's important that it has been tried to make it representative for the European region. So you find countries in Southern Europe, Northern Europe, Western Europe, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, Central Asia. They are all part of the overview. A few extra remarks. Belgium is always a problem. Sorry, I'm the northern neighbor of Belgium, but it's in fact 2 countries. It's Flanders and Wallonia. And this report only deals with Flanders. This is one. And the other is Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's only 1 canton, which is a region in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And that's the canton of Sarajevo. And then England is really England, but it's part of the UK, of course. It's the main part of the UK. And some data are about the UK, but more specifically, it's about England. Okay. That's for the overview. So remember, it represents the WHO European region in its entirety. That is what it is. Then, what are the main findings in terms of laws and policies? It's interesting to see that in 17 of the 24 countries, so there's more than 2/3 of the countries, there is really a law regulating sexuality education in schools. There are 2 countries where there is only a policy, so it doesn't have a fundamental legal status, but it's in development, and there is 1 country that only has a strategy. It's not regulated at all, neither in a strategy, nor in law, nor in a policy document in only 4 countries of the European region. In all countries where sexuality education is taught, new regulations have been initiated or planned after the year 2000. That is very interesting. So it is a field that is very much alive. A lot of things are happening in that field. New adaptations are being adopted and implemented. And when I say all the countries, it's not really true. Because the research was done at the end of 2016, and then on the 1st of March 2017, England took the decision to make sexuality education a mandatory subject, because it's only mandatory now in public schools, but not in all the private schools. But it becomes a mandatory subject also in the private schools by 2019. At the beginning of 2019, it should be everywhere in all the countries. The conclusion is there is tremendous progress during the past 2 decades, let's say, particularly the last decade. An important question, is it optional or is it mandatory, sexuality education? It is mandatory in about half of the countries. In 11 countries, it's a mandatory subject, which often means it is included in other mandatory subjects. So, not as a standalone thing, but as part of health education or of biology, etc. And that makes it a mandatory subject. It's partly mandatory in 6 countries. What does that mean, partly mandatory? It can mean 2 things. Either it is mandatory only in some parts of the country, or for some particular schools. It can mean, I gave the example of England, not in private schools it's mandatory, but it is mandatory in public schools. And that's the case in several countries. But it can also mean only a part of the program is mandatory. That part that is included under a major carrying subject, which is a mandatory subject, like biology. It is optional only in 4 countries. Optional means you can choose this one and not 1 or 2 or 3 other subjects that are taught at the same time. So you have to choose between different subjects. And there are different countries. There are 4 countries that have that situation. And unfortunately, there are still 4 countries that are lagging behind, but I don't blame them, because they're working very hard, except for 1 of them, working very hard to get something off the ground. Really, things are going on, and that's important. It is important because if you look at the international literature, you very often read about standalone programs. A special program that is implemented not as part of other subjects, but on its own. It makes it vulnerable. It sets it apart. I'm not a defender of that option. And it's interesting to see that sexuality education as a standalone subject in schools is very rare in Europe. It's almost always integrated in the entire curriculum under other subjects like health education or healthy lifestyles education or biology, etc., etc. But the conclusion at this point should be sexuality education is becoming a normal, integrated teaching subject in European countries. We are really in the process. So don't despair, please. A few words about how comprehensive or holistic are the different programs here. But all of you know that here are some core characteristics of what makes a program comprehensive or holistic. And I will skip this one because you can read it. I just want to go to the results. The indicators that we have used to assess whether a program is comprehensive or not is 6 questions that are listed here. Is there a law that supports it as a comprehensive subject? What is the respondent's estimation of the level of comprehensiveness? Is there a variety of topics addressed under sexuality education? Are educational materials really comprehensive? Here, the textbooks that are being used, the instructions for the educators. Does it have a mandatory status? Because if it's not a mandatory status, you really have a problem. You know, only part of the population will be educated. And is there large in-country variation when it comes to practice? And even then, if you look at the results, we can say really that in 10 of the 24 countries, it's fully comprehensive. Very good programs, really. The sad side of the story is still, that's really the sad side of the story, those countries are in northwestern Europe and Scandinavia. Yes, I'm northwestern. There, it is only partly comprehensive in 4 countries. It's hardly comprehensive in 6 countries. And in 4 countries, we don't have anything. Then our famous standards for sexuality education in Europe, how have they been used? The answer is extensively. It has really extensively been used for advocacy purposes in 2 countries, for curriculum development in 4 countries, and for both curriculum development in 10 countries. You know that the standards have been translated in 11 languages by now. So it is available. Finally, is sexuality education socially accepted? And this is the main theme we have to discuss. There is still a lot of resistance. There is still a lot of resistance around Europe. We asked that question. It was filled in both by representative ministry and a member association of IPPF. Only 5 countries out of 24 said there is hardly no resistance in this country. 7 countries said, yes, there is some resistance. And several said, it's growing. So this is really worrying. And then 12 countries, half of it, it's really extensive resistance in the country. Constantly busy with educating those who don't understand what sexuality education is all about and what the results are of sexuality education. What are the main arguments against sexuality education that are still around? And if you don't know about what it is, it's understandable that you have these arguments. First of all, sexuality education leads to early onset of sexual relations. So many people believe that, whereas the documentation, the research really shows that the tendency is on the contrary. It is not lowering the age of first sexual intercourse. In some countries with really good programs, it tends to make the age at first sexual intercourse higher. And the UNESCO guidance, the 2009 publication, clearly shows this, but new research also does. The second argument is interesting. Sexuality education is the responsibility of parents, not of schools. It's a good argument. It's a good argument. Parents have an important role to play. Definitely. They are the first to have a role to play. And the developers and the advocates for sexuality education have never said something on the contrary. So it's important still to stress it again and again and again. That both of us have a role, but the role that parents can play often is not enough. But if you look at the research, what the main sources of information for young people are, in those countries where there is strong resistance, it's not the parents. It's not the parents. In countries that are very open about sexuality, where there are good sexuality education programs, there the parents play an important role. But in countries where it has hardly been developed, no way. The young people then answer, I look at pornography, at the internet, I hear about sexuality from my friends or from my partner, and that's mainly it. So let's keep that in mind. Finally, sexuality education spoils the innocence of young people. Well, I'm sorry to say, but this is the most unfunded criticism to sexuality education that you can think of. Young people are not innocent. They find their own way. They get their information. So let's get rid of this false idea. Finally, the conclusion, there is still a great need. There is really a great need to explain the need for sexuality education and its positive impact for young people's health and well-being. And I think this is one of the themes we have to invest in the coming years. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Evert. Olena, you take over. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evert, for the great overview and the summary of main findings of our joint research. So in the next couple of minutes, I would like to introduce you to four country examples. So we kind of have some food for discussion in our third part. So we've chosen for this purpose Sweden, Albania, Estonia, and Tajikistan. So, a little bit to represent the different geographic corners of the European WHO region. And also you will see that these countries are quite on different stages of sexuality development of sexuality education, and also they have different scenarios and the pathway till now, till the current status. So let's first travel to Sweden. So Sweden was the first country to introduce sexuality mandatory education in schools back to 1955. So, and since then, the subject came through a long path of evolution. And currently, there are two national curriculums for the primary school and the secondary school in Sweden, which are developed jointly with the Ministry of Education, Swedish National Agency for Education, and also different working groups where sexuality education is included. And in Sweden, sexuality education is mostly referred at relationship and sexuality education. It is spread through entire school program, and also the scope of sexuality education is integrated in different subjects and courses. And, of course, it's a comprehensive and character, and it covers really a variety of topics. So the big amount of teachers actually received some training on sexuality education, which are included in different in-service trainings. It can be one-day courses or workshops. Also, there is pre-service training for the school teachers, but only for the ones who are teaching sexuality education in grades 4 to 6. And also, it is also important to highlight that in Sweden there are really a lot of different materials on sexuality education for teachers, for young people. It's a different animated videos, textbook for the learners, and also teaching materials for the teachers, which are addressing different population groups. And they all of comprehensive character and all age appropriate. It's also important to mention a very standalone component, actually, of implementation of any program as well as sexual education is evaluation and the monitoring of the program. So in Sweden, the program was evaluated back to 1999 in 80 countries, and the evaluation showed that sexual education is taught quite differently depending on schools and also within the schools depending on the teachers. And currently, for this year, the new evaluation in Sweden is planned for sexual education. And it's also important to mention that there is no robust monitoring system in Sweden for sexuality education. And nevertheless, it's important to say that according to the recent surveys, more than 50% of young people consider school to be the main source of information on sexual reproductive health in Sweden. So it's a quite big achievement. So our next country is Albania. So Albania actually has a very rapid development in the recent years in the implementation of sexuality education. And in 2012, the very important sub-law was accepted in Albania, which actually promotes sexuality education and its implementation in schools for young people. And this document states the principle of sexuality education, and also it's been of comprehensive character, and it's based on the human rights approach also. And currently, sexuality education program has a name in Albania, sexuality and life skills education, and it consists of different modules which are included in biology, health education, physical education. Also, it's mandatory, but it's taught only in public schools for the learners of age from 10 to 18 years old. Since 2011, the Albanian Center for Population Development implemented a very extensive program for the training of trainers for the teacher of sexuality education. So since 2016, around 150 trainers were trained. And in this manner, around 3,000 teachers in 20% of public schools were reached through the 3-4 days formal trainings, and in total it was 110 hours of the training per year provided. So also, in case of Albania, I would like to mention, it's also very important and essential component of any program and also sexuality education program, it's to pilot the program before it's implemented. So in Albania, it was done during 4 days implementation pilot in 4 different schools. And after evaluation of this pilot, it shows that only during these 4 days that correct knowledge about the sexual and reproductive health issues among young people increased 80%, and the misinformation was decreased in 80%. And also teachers felt more confident in delivering the sexuality education to young people in schools. So let's move to Estonia, which are our third country. So Estonia also was the first country in former Soviet Union to officially introduce sexuality education in schools back to 1996. And also there are currently two national curriculums, one for primary school and one for upper secondary school. And sexuality education in Estonia is also of comprehensive character, and it includes a variety of topics which are dealing with sexual and reproductive health. And they also delivered the lessons delivered in age-appropriate manner. And sexuality education starts in the primary school, and it's included in the subject personal, social, and health education. So also, in Estonia, approximately half of the teachers involved in teaching of sexuality education participated on different postgraduate courses also, in-service courses available for the teachers, and they also cover a variety of topics, starting with gender stereotype, dating violence, and healthy relationship. Sexuality education in Estonia was also recently evaluated in 2011, and the evaluation showed that the program, in combination with the youth-friendly sexual and reproductive health services, really had a huge impact on the improvement of young sexual and reproductive health in Estonia. And also, according to recent surveys, around 76% of young people said that the school is the main source of sexuality education for them, And only 2% of women aged 16 to 24 years all said that they didn't receive sexuality education in schools, which is quite an impressive result. So last but not least, Tajikistan, our fourth country example. So in Tajikistan, situation around sexual education also improved in the last years, but it's still in the stage of development. And till recently, few elements of sexuality education, mostly dealing with the prevention of HIV and pregnancy prevention, were integrated in different subjects, especially in the subject healthy lifestyle. This subject was approved in 2002, piloted and later on scaled up to more than 600 schools with the support of international organizations. And in 2015, UNICEF supported the scale-up of this program. And also important, in 2015, the lower house of parliament in Tajikistan approved introduction of the subject sexuality education in schools, but unfortunately, till now, there is no detail on the content and the implementation plans for this program. So before we move to our next session, we would like to have some to present you some conclusions and recommendations. So we saw that since 2000, there was a rapid progress made in developing and institutionalizing sexuality education in countries of Europe and Central Asia. Also, that the majority of surveyed countries in this research, they have at least some basic elements of sexuality education incorporated in school program. And also the curriculum development, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation difference a lot across the region and also within the individual countries. So to proceed and to move forward, it is important that European and Central Asian countries establish the legal basis for sexuality education. And it, of course, can be made with the help of and examples of their comparable countries in the region. Also, in the majority of countries, there is a vast need to train teachers on delivering of sexuality, of high-quality sexuality education in schools. And also, it's important to keep in mind that young people should be involved during the whole program, the whole sexuality education programming process, because they are the main beneficiaries of the sexuality education subject or program. Also, monitoring and evaluation, as we saw, it's covered in some countries, but still it's a big gap for the majority of the countries, and it's important to strengthen these processes and also to focus not only the implementation, but also on the quality and the quality of implementation of sexuality education. And as ever demonstrated, there is still a widespread misunderstanding of the impact of sexuality education in many countries. So it's really important to illustrate the research funding and to publish in the international journals and to show the need of implementation of sexuality education to decision maker, educational sector, and public at large. And of course, the sharing knowledge and experience and also collaboration between not only organizations but between countries and country representatives should be strengthened. And also, it is a very important component in moving forward. So thank you very much from both of us for your time.
Thank you very much, both of you again, Evert and Olena.